Good day there, listener and gentlemen. Thanks very much for tuning in to this show. We promise to bring you so much fun entertainment over the next hour. You're going to want your money back for sure.
They're back. The show with the pressure and Frosty.
This is what you've been waiting for. This is what you've been waiting for. This is what you've been waiting for. This is what you've been waiting for.
It is our October special. It is our Halloween spooky special. Can you believe it? It's Halloween. Ooh. Yes, it is Halloween and coming up very soon. And we are going to be talking about, I don't know, stuff with Halloween, like ghosts. Have you seen a ghost?
Oh, don't.
Have you seen a ghost?
Do we want to go here? Oh, please don't.
Oh, you get scared, don't you?
There's this comedy. It's by the team that make The League of Gentlemen. It's called Inside Number 9. So there's
love
about
it.
Five or six series it's out now. And I just caught the newest series, the last episodes of it last night. And it's just so creepy. And I was the only one here in my house. So I just put the lights on in the living room and that was pretty much it. And I went out to the bedroom and I went to get something. And I was like, oh, did something touch me? And I just started to put stupid thoughts in my head. And then I thought I heard a knock at the door. So I went and turned the lights and I went downstairs. No one was there. So I started to spook myself out. And it's because it's this time of year and you see adverts for films on buses that look a bit creepy.
Yeah.
And you see a 10-second ad for it. And you just have visions of this, a house near us that's got a load of Halloween-y decorations on already, a massive inflatable type pumpkin-y thing, but then on the sides of the house the creepiest thing are like two little kids on rocking horses, but their eyes are all like blacked out and they're like, it's just seeing things like that a bit more at this time of the year makes me scared to be in my own house by myself.
Wow. I used to be really, really bad when I was a child. I used to have night terrors where you wake up and you are awake, but the nightmares are awake with you. So you can see your nightmares in real life walking around. And I used to go nuts. My parents had to hold me down. There was one nightmare that I had in particular. I can remember it now. I thought there was an evil He-Man walking around. And he had like an orange claw. And I was saying, He-Man, he's there. And he was literally there. And nobody could see him. And then he'd gone. And then I was in bed. And then I was just resting, and then he walked past the bedroom window. I'm getting shivers just remembering it now. It was so, so frightening, just those night terrors. Thankfully, that stopped, but I was really worried. My worry was growing up that when I'm older and I'm living on my own, will I be able to not be scared? Because I used to get scared all the time. Like, I used to think everyone were monsters or zombies. So even my parents and my brothers and one day I'd wake up and I'd say, wake, help me. And they'd turn on me. Or everyone were robots. Or there was like a vortex that would like suck me all up from the ceiling. And I thought, how on earth am I going to survive when I'm older? And I think I'm okay now. But there are like weekends, if Stacey's away, that, same with you. If I hear a sound or something, I, in my head, oh yeah, this is what I do on my own. If my eyes are closed and I'm in a scared period in my life, I'll imagine there's a man with an axe right in front of me. And if I open my eyes, he's either going to be there or he's not going to be there. And it's so frightening just having my eyes closed and going, I'm going to open them now and stop you from being there, but you might be there. And obviously it's a silly thought. But when they're in your head, it's hard to get out, isn't it?
Well, it's all your own. It's how much you decide to let it get you or how much you believe it. Or some people just love horror and terror as a sort of genre and love horror films and just like the excitement of it. I do like it, but it scares me. But I can control it as well because I used to have night terrors as well. And then I still have pretty crazy dreams at certain times. And then I had a phase of having nightmares just so regularly, just so often. It still happens now. So, but at least when I wake up, I'm like, no, it wasn't real. Even though I can still feel it. I'm like, it wasn't real. It's fine. okay, oh, right, there we go. But I guess I do get scared of the dark, scared of any empty place that shouldn't really be empty. Because there's always people mm-hmm. around me everywhere. If I go into somewhere where there's no one around that should be busy, that scares me.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's what nightmares do you get? Any particular type of nightmares?
There's usually just people in my room. That's just a recurring dream, but I don't know.
Oh, that's horrible.
That's very often. That's all the
time. Just standing there, just sort of hovering, just
not in a sort of creepy
swaying
way. I think there's been a few ghosts pop in here and there, you know, to do their thing. But I think I just want to accept it because there must be presences out there. There's too much documentation for it all to be mumbo jumbo. There's too many films and series of films that have, you know, got all different. You know, it can't be made, like aliens can't be made up. There's too many examples. There's too many planets and stars not to be anything out there. And there's too many dead people for there not to be some of them still around.
You've got, those are two completely different things there.
Why?
Like aliens. Well, aliens, scientifically, yeah, I agree with you there, because we've got like trillions and trillions of planets and the chances are there will be life somewhere else. But ghosts, that's a different thing altogether, that is.
Well, what about in yoga when all your chakras align and you feel this sense of uplifting, which is exactly what some people say is the power of God? We all just sort of have a different sense of feeling and spirituality or religion, and some people believe that that goes beyond our life here, and some people are completely mm-hmm. against it. And then the scientists, who are the ones going to Venus and Saturn and Uranus, are the ones sort of proving that there's stuff there. There's like, you know, there's a definite possibility that there can be life on these places, and scientists are proving it. But when it comes to sort of spirituality and ghosts, etc., there's got to be a bit of that in their heads. I know the science would never agree with it, but in their head they need to want to believe. So
yeah, I mean, the human mind is, you know, it's unique to anything else that humans know about in the universe, in the fact that we are self-aware, we can imagine, we can remember, you know, we are conscious. And so with that consciousness, I think the human mind has that ability to have that feeling of elevation, but I think that is a thing in the brain. I mean, if you think about all these ghost shows, like Most Haunted Houses and all of that sort of thing, there's no like evidence. It just says it's a bit colder, or I can hear a noise. Like if there was a photograph or a video, like a proper one, like real hardcore evidence, I'd believe it. But it's always just, oh, it's a bit of fluff. But if you look closely, there's an eye in the fluff.
I know, but why do you need to see someone else's experience? Because if someone is haunting someone, there's a connection there. And as a viewer, that's got nothing to do with you. It's like a personal relationship between the presence and the person. And it doesn't need to be shared by everyone. So you can't watch a cheap show on whatever that is, Channel 5 now, and expect to see, like, the Loch Ness Monster. Enough people said that they saw it, so let's go with it.
Doesn't mean it's true.
Well, doesn't mean it's not true. There's a grainy picture that could make you think yay or nay. But some of the eyewitnesses, why would they all make it up?
Because they're like attention.
But I'm completely different to him, and I'm saying I've seen it, you know. Hey, come on there.
You know, they can't all be.
Yeah.
Why disbelieve them? They're not making too much money out of it.
I need evidence. I'm not disbelieving them, but I'm not believing them.
Okay, then. Those dinosaurs.
Evidence. There's evidence for them. There's,
How, though? There's just a load of bones everywhere. Well, you don't know that made a thing. Do you?
Dude, that's evidence. Yeah. That is solid evidence. It's been carbon dated.
There's a new show that's just opened at the British Museum called Decoding, or like just Understanding Hieroglyphics. So the language of ancient Egypt, because there was a time when no one was talking the language and no one knew what these symbols meant. And it's taken...
Yeah.
It took like Napoleon trying to invade Egypt in like 1799, and he brought loads of archaeologists and scientists with him, and they didn't succeed. But when the British decided, all right, we're going to keep all this junk, and we took it all back home, and then we shared all the info with the rest of Europe, and then they decoded it eventually. But the language was lost for hundreds of years. It was there were symbols that something had happened. There were physical symbols, and there was obviously loads of like artifacts, etc. But no one could really piece it together. And then eventually they did piece it together.
Yeah, that's right. Same with the Aztecs. They had the similar language in the fact that there was graphics and letters. And they found a codex. So the codex with each language is basically like how each word is formed. And they lost many of the codexes or codexes of the languages, but they found some. And that's how they managed to understand some of the languages there. But yeah, there's so much lost. The Earth is so old. And so much stuff has happened on this planet that if there were ghosts, you know, there'd be billions and billions and billions just everywhere. There's so much history. So many things have happened where you are right now. Your brain can't fathom it. So big.
Yeah, but I think that I'm in tune with it and I accept it and it helps me. And someone like you, who's just narrow-minded and bigoted and just plays computer games in his fold-up chair, it's not for you.
I think that's a slur.
It's not for you. No. Why would they come and chat to you? What would they get out of you? They know that if they connect with me, they can affect me and they can make me just... I'm aware, so I'm excited by it. And you're like, no, it's bloody rubbish. Give me another beer, Stacey. I'm playing Xbox.
The way you frame that makes it sound like you're right and I'm wrong. Like you're a very good spin doctor there.
Do you believe in ghosts?
Answer the question.
I will say this. Having said everything I've just said, I think I have an experience with a ghost. Yeah, when I was in Twickenham in Milf Road, 2002-2003, I was sleeping in the bed and then I just woke up. And I saw this. Oh, this made me scared thinking about it. My eyes water when I get scared. And I saw this old woman just staring over me. And then I looked up and I thought if I'd see a ghost, I'd go, hello, how are you? I saw her and sheer terror hit me. And I just went, like a proper scream. And then the ghost ran into my face and its face went through my face and I was like, ah! And then Sam Jenkins and Dave Glancy had to come in and say, and Peter Joyce, are you alright? I was like, I don't know. And that's my experience, but that was like a full blown experience. I could have been drunk or whatever, but yeah, that was my ghost experience.
That's pretty horrible. Good. Okay, so you do believe. I take it all back. You were right. And I was wrong.
Excuse me, you're a zombie, right?
Yeah.
Well, don't you mean brains?
Oh, yeah. Thanks.
Do you sort of lean into Halloween? Do you do like the trick-or-treating stuff?
I carve a pumpkin with the kids these days. And I think at university was when it was the most fun because there were like Halloween balls and stuff and there was a reason to do it. And we went trick-or-treating once or twice as a kid, but the street just didn't. I think when you're dead young, it can be a bit of fun. You need to live in the right sort of area. We did it. I did it once or twice as a child. And then it wasn't till university that it became a quite exciting night out. And then it's just faded away again now. People have been talking about it all month, and the fact that it's still 18 degrees and the leaves don't even seem to have really changed on the trees yet, it doesn't seem like it's even autumn. So it's I haven't seen as much bunting and junk, but everyone around me has been, oh, Halloween. I'm like, bugger off.
I hate trick-or-treating, as you can get Kel surprise. I hate it because it's just people knocking on your door begging for food, isn't it?
I think in our new street, it looks like it could be geared up for it, but I haven't seen any pumpkins and that junk yet. But maybe it'll come out in the next week. Surely it's a bit too early now. If you put a pumpkin out now, it'd be a bit manky by...
But that'd be good.
Oh,
rotten pumpkin.
Oh, yeah.
It's all right. I did go trick-or-treating once. We weren't a family that did that. I think my father was against it. For those reasons, like knocking people's doors, asking for sweets. It is a weird thing to do, really. But I did do it once, and I just put a bin bag on. This is my costume. My friend put another bin bag on, and we just knocked. We had some sweets. Loads of people slammed the door in our faces. And one person said, trick. And so... my friend just sort of spun round and sang a song, and that was it, really. It was kind of a... And then there was a bunch of older kids with rockets, and they were, like, shooting rockets on the road, and I thought, oh, this is not fun. I don't like this.
Someone was setting off fireworks near ours yesterday. It really did sound like gunfire. And also the foxes seem to be having a lot of fun at the moment. They seem to be well up for this. Yeah.
I love it. I love a fox. I love him. We've got a fox in the garden, and we feed the foxes, the hedgehogs. We've got a door and a field mouse in the garden as well. I've got a camera on the feeder. I love the foxes. Hate the fireworks.
I know you like it. 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 I know you like it.
Our podcast usually sounds like top notch, you know, so you get a sense of quality with the show that you don't get on other podcasts. I don't want to like poo-poo other people's podcasts, but you know, some people just slap it all out and they don't even edit anything. They put all the ums and ahs, and it's just a little bit boring, you know. There's a whole world of podcasts out there. It's a bit like, do you remember back in the day when you had the, what's it called, the radio in your attic? And he said, how many candles are you burning? Over and out. Do you remember that?
This little, yeah, you, the 2C radio or something like that.
Yeah, and it was like for anoraks and nerds. And it's a bit like that in the podcast world.
Like, who do you mean? Nice. Like Rough Giraffe or whatever they're called?
Well, Rough Giraffe, Stacey's podcast, Rough Giraffe. Stacey was really good at promoting her podcast. I don't think we're at all very good at promoting it. But
why don't you make us an advert? Why don't you make us a little 30 and a 60 saying,
the show with the pressure and Rusty, monthly on your iTunes, Spotify, Google Store, laying down all the key facts and lols a minute. It's the show with the pressure and Rusty.
And then we should do that. I can do that.
And I'll play it on this radio station here. And then, you know, we'll probably still get
great.
Just as few involvement.
We'll get a couple of thousand.
At least we can say we're doing something this time.
That would feel good, actually. Because I was just going to say, where would we put it? I feel like I'm just shouting to the ether every time I say something on Twitter. Like, no one listens to me on Twitter because no one, you know. How do people listen? But you've got an outlet there. You can do it on your show, and you're the CEO, so you're not going to get into trouble for it, are you?
No. They'll like it.
Oh, God. We should have done this years ago, Dave. Honestly.
I know. Things come to me really slowly. I learn very slowly, and I make... You know, you were the one that said only a fool makes the same mistakes twice. And yeah, I make them over and over again. I just learn very slowly.
Bilbo Baggins.
I want to start, I think I might start one in the new year called The Radio Show.
Oh, yeah?
And I interview the tech people from radio stations and then maybe some personalities. But essentially, I want to interview people that do just different jobs behind the scenes at a radio station just so that I can say, hey, program controller, how do you build your clock wheel? How many tunes are in the recurrent section? When do you move from A-list to B-list? How do you go about categorizing that? Okay, cool. And just see what they can share with me, because I have a lot of questions. I do a lot of jobs pretty badly at my own place of work. So if I could interview people that did their jobs at their stations a bit better, I can give them, just probe them basically to see how I can improve and be better.
That's a really good idea, because you're producing something and then you're actually learning on the job as well. It's great, because then you can ask the stupid questions that you're too scared to ask sometimes, because obviously, where does the headphone jack go? But it's those kind of things where people assume you know it, but in the role that you play, that's a really good idea, yeah.
And I might make some friends.
Nah.
Well, the crux...
Yeah, you might do.
At the end, it'll be, give us a job, mate.
Yeah, that'll be your final question.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks for coming. And one last question. Give us a job. That's a really good idea. I think that would work, because you'll also get the podcast nerds involved in that as well, because they always want to know what microphone you're using, what software you're editing, all
but
that sort
of
stuff.
A lot of it is self-indulgence. People make a show or a series based on their interests and what they want to know about, and I really want to know granular detail about what is happening in the industry. And I think... anyone else that does those roles and positions, there must be tech and production content out there, but you know, it's not going to be as riveting as when I start to do it on
The Radio Show, coming to you this January.
And it all depends how you how you get it as well. You don't want to put it too low because the experts are going to say, well, this is just for kids or starting out. But you'd want to like do it too high as well.
Well, I heard a man who made a thing about pirate radio, and he's just about to put out a series. It's in the next month, and he's made his own radio station, and it's like a 90-minute mix of ambient sounds and bits of recordings that he nicked from pirate stations back in the day. He grew up in Hackney in like the 90s, which was the heyday of radio stations in council blocks and on the back of people's cars. When we were in London that time, remember we got shout out from like...
Yeah.
Something called Arthur.
That's brilliant.
So he's put this piece together. So interviewing characters like that that have got something to promote, or someone else that's even got a podcast that just wants a bit of filler. Because there's a podcast that I listen to and I could have them on. Because I could ask them the question. Well, I listened to the Totally Football one, and now I listen to Handbrake Off, which is an Arsenal one with Ian Stone.
Okay.
And then there's one coming up. They're doing it live at Earth in Hackney next month called Football Clichés. So if someone's got an event to plug, I could be like, hey, come on the show. And then I could ask them, hey, what do you use for your technical stuff? What sort of microphones have you got? What sort of cables have you got? Can you tell us a funny story about not being able to connect with Zoom? Oh,
yeah, that's good. Me and Stacey are thinking of starting a podcast next year as well.
Don't do it, mate.
Why? Well,
because it'll just be just disgusting. It'll be so like, oh, are we ready to start? Oh, oh, we're in. There's someone at the door. Oh, come on, let's get back. What would you talk about?
So the idea is, we haven't got a title for it yet, but we've got a concept. And I think it's a pretty good one. It's about songs that you were forced to listen to when you were younger by your parents, and driving in cars and things that you might not have listened to, or something that's... like if there was a tape on in the car that was just always playing, and it's about your memories of that and, you know, talking about music basically in that way.
I had a nice experience this morning. Two cars were like backing towards me, both doing their thing. And I just zoomed through the middle and I was singing in my head, Gone Till November, thinking about you.
Techno robots. Gadget, news from a show with the pressure and Frosty.
Okay, I'm looking at getting an Apple Watch, a new one.
Woo, brand new.
What one are you on now? What model?
I think I'm on probably a 6, I'd say. What are you on?
I'm looking at the SE model.
Is it an SE Apple Watch?
Yeah, there's a new one that's just come out with the 8, but there's a previous one. £100 on eBay, second hand. So I'm looking at some now.
Wow.
Maybe 120.
Yeah, that's good. So an SE is, they call it special edition, and that means it's not as got as the many features, but it's completely serviceable.
The only feature I need is track my exercise, tell me the time, track my heart rate, which is the same as the first thing I said. That's all I need. I don't need any of the other stuff on it. So that's all I want.
Yeah. Okay, and to stay on all day so it doesn't run out of battery as well. That's quite important.
Mine's charging right now.
Oh, God. I'm just going to show you the battery on mine. It's 57%, and I've used it since 5:30 this morning. So
you say used it, though. What have you done with it today? Because I rode to work 33 minutes, and it was tracking that. I told it was hit. I tricked it. And then I did yoga for an hour and 33 minutes. I'm currently on 1,300 active calories. What have you done with yours today other than play Pokemon and check your emails? I suppose what you want yours for.
Well, yeah, I've exercised.
Yeah?
Yeah. So every morning I'm on the bike doing some exercise. Yeah, still doing it. I had a break from it last week because I had a bit of a nasty cold, but I'm recovered, fully recovered now. So adding to your Apple Watch SE, Motorola have released their first ideas of a foldable phone. So it looks really cool in the video. It's basically a phone as you normally see a phone. You press the side button and the phone just goes smaller and smaller into a small square. You press the other button and it stretches all the way out to a really wide phone. And the way that it does it, it looks really slick. Like It feels like the phone's coming out of nowhere and is going nowhere, and it's one to watch to come out next year. They haven't named it, they haven't priced it, but I can imagine it'd be very expensive. The foldable phones, when they first came out, they were about £2,000. They've come down quite a bit to about £800 now, but I'm still not happy with the crease in the middle with those foldable phones. I haven't quite got the technology right there, but these ones look great.
If you had the money, would you have a few phones?
I don't know.
Okay. If you could have a second phone, would it be different to an iPhone?
Yeah. If I wasn't locked into the iPhone world, I'd love to get one of those Razer flat roll foldable phones. You know, the where you close it like that. You know, clamshell phones. I loved those back in the day. Just ending a call and closing it like that. It was nice. And also, you don't need to buy a case for it because it is its own case. The screen is already protected.
Have you got a case on your phone now?
Oh, this is a sad story with my phone. Yeah, I got an official Apple case and I dropped it from waist height last year in November, and the whole back is completely shattered. The whole back is shattered. The front is scratched up, even though it's got a ceramic shield. And this is an official Apple case, so it shouldn't have done that. And then Apple had the gall last month to advertise their phones as saying you don't even need a case on them. So there's an advert where there's an Apple phone on the tabletop and it's buzzing because somebody's calling, buzzing, falls off, and then someone just picks it up and it's not cracked. What a load of bollocks.
Gym Talk.
Before we got on air, I was listening because I listen to everything. People find it quite confusing. They're like, why aren't you talking? It's like, I'm listening. You're talking, so I'm listening. Oh, it's really weird. You're staring at me while you're talking, so I'm listening. And now you've tailed off and you got a bit awkward, but I'm still fine with this, so I'm cool.
Yeah.
You were talking about what you had today to eat. Can you talk us through your daily diet again? Because I found that quite exciting.
Oh, okay, yeah. So at the moment, I'm having porridge for breakfast with a sliced banana and some honey.
Do you mix that in?
Yeah. So what I do is I put the milk and the oats in the microwave, and while that's cooking, I'll slice up the banana, put the banana in the porridge so it gets all hot, and then I put the honey in afterwards and a dash of milk at the top, just to top it off.
Okay. This is why people don't listen, by the way. But if I have a banana with something, I like to have it on the side. Like, I don't want to have banana on toast. I'll have some toast and then a banana. And it's the same.
Yeah.
I have mixed it into porridge a few times, but it just is so gungy. I'd like to have the porridge and a banana on the side.
Oh, well, that's interesting because I like the gunge. Mm. I love gunging a banana up with some peanut butter and some honey. So it becomes like a little dollop on a pancake, man.
So for breakfast, I have this concoction I make, which is milk, oats, peanut butter, honey, cinnamon, some other junk, some currants, baked in the oven for like an hour.
Ooh.
And then I eat it as if it's like a flapjack, but there's no sugar
granola.
Or butter. So
that sounds good.
It's really nice. I might send you the recipe.
Yes. Can you make a batch and then have them all week, or do you have to cook them every day?
I make six at once.
How many do you eat a day?
One.
Oh, good. So that's your week done then?
Almost, because there's 7 days in my week. So.
Yeah. But on one of the days, you have like a fry up or something.
I have banana with toast on the side. But what did you have for lunch? Yeah. This is what people are really hanging on the line for.
Right. Well, for breaks, so my mid-morning snack is an apple and a banana. I just have
another
that.
Banana.
And then now that I have two a day. I'm a two banana boy. Oh yeah. And then for lunch, I just have some Huel. This is the protein black edition Huel.
That's you just drink a drink and that's your lunch.
That's it. And I have half of it. Yeah,
why
that is
half?
It.
Yeah.
What
do you do well,
with
the other
put,
half?
Well, they put, say put two scoops in, and that's 400 calories. And the thing that they say is that if you want to lose weight, don't drink Huel, because it's not a weight loss food.
It's a protein shake.
Food substitute.
Yeah.
Sometimes I have to have that when looking after the children at school who are having packed lunch. And the amount of crap they eat is so much food and crap.
One in four children are on a diet right now, I read in the paper today. And also how parents behave with their kids. If parents don't show them, aren't emotional with them, and if their parents lack discipline when it comes to food, those kids tend to grow up having, you know, getting bad habits because they're not, they don't stop eating when they're full, and the lack of affection translates to them being obese.
Yeah, it's just processed foods, pepperamis, just like salty meats. Cheese is fine, but like loads of cheese, loads of crisps, chocolate, those Rice Krispie squares that they're not healthy. They're all like sugary stuff, and then they'll have a sandwich.
I think one of all of it, sandwich, crisps, thing, that's enough. But when I was, I just see more. I see kids with more.
Loads.
It's like, you can't have two. You can't have a club biscuit and a wagon wheel. That's just really not needed. Even if you run around as much as you can, you can't process that. And then, pepperami on the side. And half a Huel. Flipping heck, you fat pig.
Yeah. They're little. These kids are tiny. And they're eating, I don't know, 4 or 5 times more than what I'm having. It doesn't seem right.
Well, who the hell are you?
In the last show, you said about, I want to live my life now. I'm sick of mental slouching. I want to do things.
Absolutely.
2023, let's cut loose on this teaching nonsense and let's get some other stuff on the go.
Well, what am I going to do? I've got to earn money, haven't I? I've got to pay the mortgage.
Be an editor. Like, I've been sharing you the leads for those bulletins. Have you had anything from that? I shared Owen this bulletin. It's basically freelance production work, a lot of podcast editing, and then loads of stuff for radio station shows and just working on a freelance basis. Any of that bared fruit yet?
It's quite interesting to look at. At the moment, I'm looking at the jobs and the job descriptions, the salary and, what's involved. And it's stuff that is things I think I can do, but, it's when you've got the pressure of being paid and people are expecting you to do it, then, I'm thinking, I don't know. Am I good enough for it? Do I have enough experience
for it? How many audiobooks have you edited?
4 or 5.
That's surely enough, isn't it?
Yeah, maybe. I think it is definitely an avenue to look into. I'm not, I'm just sort of looking at it at the moment. So this is the UK Audio Network. A lot of it, though, is, you're not paying me enough.
So people post a thing and it's quite obvious. They're like, hey, looking for a freelance producer on this salary. Let's just say it's 25K and it's for 6 months. And someone will get back like, oh, that's quite low. Or, oh, is it 25K for 6 months or pro rata? It's like, work it out, you div. They're not going to pay 50 grand for the job that you need. Oh, but I think that's really low. Oh, I've seen it. It's like, ugh. And I can't resist but read some of those bits. And they always annoy me. Because I see all these I see these bulletins come through, and a few of them, if I'm quick enough, I click on and I apply. And but there's just a lot of tripe, which I think is any forum where people are allowed to just post comments, and it just encourages nonsense. But whoa, let's get back here. Sounds like you're mind slouching to me.
No, not at all.
I've got an excuse for everything.
No way,
but I have to eat 2 club biscuits or I've got this OCD that if I don't eat an even number, then I can't get up.
This is the opposite of mentally slouching, because what I would normally do is say, I'll give that a go. I can do that. And I'll overstretch myself and I'll be annoyed at myself at overstretching, and I'll be stressed. And what I'm doing is I'm just putting the time in. I am researching it and looking into what I like from it. And then when the time is right, I don't know when it is at the moment, I'll feel a bit more like, I can do that. Maybe half term, I'll have a bit of time in half term to have a look at things and reassess. I'm also going to apply to, I've got a list of agents. So what I've been doing, applying myself, is on Twitter there's an account saying agents who have open books, and frequently they say which agencies are opening now, and I've got a list of them now and I'm ready to go. So on half term I'm gonna like write a nice cover letter and get myself all prepped out and send it all out and see what happens there. So that's one of the things that I'm doing to be a bit more active. And it's just, again, as I say, it's just a day-to-day thing, not being grumpy, like driving to work this week. To be honest, this week I have felt, I've had to like shake myself up driving to work. I don't know why, whether it's because it's darker in the mornings or just because it is, but I just felt this week, this is crap. I just felt crap, like, couldn't be bothered. It's going to be a slog. And then I'll talk to myself in the car and I'll say, come on now, You've got to work. You're not going to be there for long. You can do this. It's not like, you can do this. It's like, you can do this. It's a job. You know how to do it. Get on with it. And then think of something fun that you can do when you get home. And that sort of... And also, don't wait for the clock to go down at work. Be engaged in it. Before, I used to play Dave Glancy chess when I was teaching. Because online, you know. Because it was a bit more... I thought that was a bit more interesting. But it actually made things go slower because I was trying to avoid where I was at the time. And it takes time to go by slower, I think. So, yeah, I think I've been... This week's been harder, but I've used the skills that I've got to overcome it. But it's always going to be a little battle. And you just got to look back on yourself and go, come on. Come on. I think that's my mantra. I've got a mantra, but you've got a mantra, haven't you?
It's not as good as come on, but...
come on.
I don't know. I say things to myself. I battle through. Yeah, it's been... Yeah, I think these are turbulent times we're living in, aren't they? So, yeah, you've got to use your tools. And as long as your tools aren't drinking and other things, then
yes.
If you've got the mental courage to battle through and persevere, you're going to find the good place, listener. You're going to find it.
Yeah, it will happen. One of my mantras is it's not forever. Whatever you're doing, it's not forever.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter if it's good, doesn't matter if it's bad, it will move, it will change.
Mm.
And also, it could be worse.
Hmm.
That's always good. Mm-hmm. In fact, it could be a lot worse. It really can.
Yeah, I do like to reflect and think back to some of the other things I've done at maybe this time of year. I was working two jobs once upon a time. Like I was working a 9-to-5 and then I was going to work in a bar until like 2, 3, 4, 5 in the morning, and it was all at this time of the year, so it was tough. So I do like to try and remember that a little bit, just to sort of say, yeah, it could be way worse.
Yeah, absolutely. And all the crappy supply temp jobs that I've done in the past, office work, I was a road sweeper, I've worked in call centers, I've done database entry, minimum wage, awful jobs. And then now I've got this job that pays loads more. It's a lot more engaging. I get to use my brain a bit. I'm important. And it's reliable. So, you know, it could be a lot worse, you know. So onwards and upwards.
Hey ho.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But you just got to get through this bloody... No, you don't have to get through this winter. You don't have to get through January. That's the bad mentality. Getting through it. Because I hate January. And I always think, just get through it. I'm going to try and not get through it this year. I'm going to try and just not embrace January, but just to be engaged with it. Maybe that'll help. Find out, listeners, next year, 2023.
Here at the show, we care about you. Which is why we strive to provide the best quality convo for all our listeners. The show with the pressure and Frosty.
What's happening on the house?
Oh, the house is coming on well now. We're pretty much almost there. We need to tile the walls, tile the floors, but the big thing that we're waiting for are the doors, the bifold doors and the windows. So basically, what we have now are holes where the doors and windows should be, and they're just boarded up with wood. So it's pitch black there all day. And it's freezing cold in the nights because there's no insulation. It's just cold. So we've got to keep the living room doors closed. They did say 10 to 12 weeks. It's now been 11 weeks. So we're in the sweet spot. So hopefully, I do hope that by next podcast, we will have it. Because that'll be so nice to be able to see the back garden again. I love looking at the birds in the garden. And I've really missed that this year. So that'd be very exciting. Yeah. No, we're getting there now. I'm cooking food. Cooking food on the hob, in the ovens. It's very, very nice. Very nice indeed.
Okay. All right. So next for Frostfest 2023, it'll be ready.
Yeah.
And we'll be there looking out onto the veranda. For Reading 2023, we'll be sat there watching the kites inside the house, looking out or having a gay old time. For the Reading Hot Chili Festival, we'll be there just eating random stuff from the takeaway around the corner. Inside the house, looking outside in the bifold doors.
It's going to be so good. I'm going to do the decking as well. I'm going to turn the decking into tiled decking, not slippery tiled decking. So basically, when you walk out from the dining room with the bifold doors, the floor will be the same height as the inside floor, and it'll be a similar tile material. So it'll be like you're just carrying on walking, and it just becomes outside. But that's next year. I can't put that in my brain for this year. It's too much stuff going on.
Well, well, wow. What a lot of excitement. Yeah. My new thing is cat watching in my new garden. Ooh. I like to watch the cats.
Love doing that myself.
Yeah, there's one that we've named Lloyd, and he comes and sleeps in the shed all the time. And then this other cat, then I can't remember if it was Lloyd or another cat, was just sat around on Saturday. And then a squirrel like walked up to him, basically.
Oh.
And he just carried on looking at it. And then I went back, and then Lloyd and the other cat were there together. And then they were both gone. And I like watching the cats.
Yeah.
There were loads of pigeons there earlier, but they didn't have my attention. It's cat watching that I like.
Do you have ownership of that garden? Can you put stuff in there? Was it shared garden?
Yeah, it was shared, but we can put stuff in there.
Oh, okay, great. So maybe next year you could put like a bird feeder in, perhaps.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You get all sorts. You'd be surprised at what kind of things you'll get in there. It's definitely worthwhile.
Yeah, okay. That'd be fun. What do you mean next year? Can't we do it now?
You could do it now, but now's probably the best time to do it, because that's when the birds would need the extra.
Yeah,
that's true. Yeah, do it now. Do it. Get a bird station. You just pop it in the middle, and then you've got loads of different types of holes for the birds. So different sizes are for different birds and different food. There's a whole industry there that I love. I love going to B&M and just buying a new bird feeder, or, you know, I love it because you get to see all these different creatures in the garden, and you're helping out as well. You're helping out, you know, you're helping out nature. So it's a win-win situation, really. I love it.
Okay, there we go. I'm a local B&M. This time next show, I'm going to be, I'll be out. I'll have my gardening gloves on and my muddy fingers.
Yeah. Or maybe I've got a Christmas birthday present in mind for you now. Interesting. Ooh.
We'll get you good. 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 We'll get you good.
It's time for What Gets Your Ghost? Oh, the Halloween special. This is to do with, I am a very polite toilet user. I'm not going to get too mucky, so don't worry. But I am a very polite toilet user. If I have a pee, and, you know, sometimes you miss it a little bit or it sprays a little bit, you clean it up and you mop it up. That's fine. And I'm very good at putting the toilet seat down as well for people. I put the toilet seat down automatically. And I think that's neutral. There's no argument then. Up, down, doesn't matter. What my goat is, and this has happened to a few places, it happens in hotels where you expect it not to happen, in public buildings and people's houses, is when you put the toilet seat up, you start peeing, and then the toilet seat falls down. It doesn't fit. Oh my God, it doesn't fit. So what do you do? You either pee with the toilet seat down and you hit the thing and you got to clean it up, or, which is what I do, and it's very undignified, you sort of put your foot on the toilet seat bowl to block the seat coming down, and then you sort of lean over it and pee. But it's not a very nice experience. If I feel dirty doing it, I don't like it. And I just think, why, if you're in a public building, why don't you just, you know, get something that fits? Because what's the point of having it if it doesn't stay up?
When you say put the seat down, you mean you finish using the toilet and you close it completely and you put the lid down and the toilet.
The lid down,
The full thing, so
lid.
The thing is closed.
Full thing.
That's how the toilet is meant to be left, not with any bits left up. It's like, no, just shut the thing. Unless it's shut, then it's an open cesspit. Shut the whole thing. Oh, I left the toilet suit there for you. No, you've left the lid open. Shut the lid, you schmuck.
It's a lid there for a reason. They wouldn't have made a lid if it wasn't to put something on top of, you know?
Oh, disgusting.
But there's so many bad toilet people out there. And I'm surprised sometimes. I work in a school, so, and there aren't that many men. There aren't that many men in there, in the school. So obviously I know who's been using what. And they just don't clean up after themselves. I just think, what are you thinking? What are you thinking?
What about people that have, like, towel-style things that go around. They have a bath mat, but then they have the thing that goes around the toilet that's made of towel material.
Yeah.
Which is lovely to stand on your feet, but there's just so much gooey.
I know. I grew up with those, so I was used to them, and now we don't have them in this house because Stacey doesn't like them for obvious reasons. And so I do miss them, but, you know, if you think too hard, you can imagine that's soaked up a lot of badness, isn't it? Or people have carpeted bathrooms.
Yeah, that never gets changed. So, yeah.
No, that's weird. Yeah. So that's mine anyway. It's just if you're providing a public service, do or do not. There is no. Oh, I was trying to think of a funny pun then. Do or do not.
It's going to come to you in your night terrors tonight. It'll just ghost through you. Oh, I was meant to say that, and I forgot it. Bloody hell, I'll insert it tomorrow when I edit it.
Yeah. Anyway.
Well, mine is in the supermarket, they keep like coming to do sort of stock fill or restack shelves with these massive things that pretty much like block the aisles. You can't like get, so you've got to sort of walk around and, sorry, I'm coming to buy stuff in the shop. So, sorry. You've got to kind of try and squeeze through. And then the other day they had them at sort of both ends and you were like, okay, I'll leave my basket here and I'll try and walk through to look at, okay. And it wasn't just in Lidl. I went Sainsbury's, more than one aisle. It seemed they were just going for me. They were just, I was like, okay, so I can't go around that way. I'll try this. Oh, I can't go. Oh, what the bloody heck? Like, and they look at you as if you're like, oh, get up. What are you bloody doing in my shop, mate? Get out of here. I'm trying to stock take, ain't I?
Oh, this is so interesting because I think you're not referring to stock taking. You're referring to one of my... No, one of my goats from earlier on this year when I said, I hate it when I'm going shopping and you get these people with these massive trolleys.
That's different.
Getting the stock.
That's different.
It's the same thing.
Because when I was in Morrison's and I was doing that, I was doing a bit of, I did two jobs. One was go round and pick up people shopping and put it in the basket for home delivery. And the other job was to stack the shelves. But it wasn't with a thing that blocked the aisle. They're basically moving a full pallet out. Probably because it's easier to go from the warehouse, get the full pallet out and block the aisle. It's like, well, no one can get through if you do this. What are you doing?
Aldi are really bad at that. Also, they make you feel like you're in their way. Yes. Yeah.
When they're smaller shops anyway, Morrison's and Asda and Tesco, they're all bigger. They're just bigger. The Lidl's of the world and the Aldi's usually occupy a much smaller shop. And yet they put out a bigger thing, which is probably all part of how they save money, just by doing stupid things. They know you're not going to leave because it's so bloody cheap.
I was in Aldi last Sunday and I was playing the game, the checkout game, Could I Beat Them? And I organized everything perfectly and I was so fast, the lady there was laughing. She was like, oh, you've done such a brilliant job. You're really, really good. And I was like, yes. You did such a good job packing your bags. Oh my God, it felt so good.
That's praise from the top.
They know. And I was like, that felt good.
Yeah.
Thanks again, listeners. Don't annoy everyone trick-or-treating. Stay inside, watch a film, turn the lights off, have a cup of tea, and don't get scared. Don't have nightmares.
Just be brave, embrace it, just get on board that it's there, and try and feel something. That's my leave behind.
Just feel something. Just something. For the love of God. But we'll be back in November. And that will be our, believe it or not, that will be our penultimate episode for our 12-year request show mission. We're almost there. We've almost done it.
We'll be back in November.
Back in November. All right, we'll see you. Hold it down, everyone. Take care. Bye.
Bye. Good night.
It's time to say goodbye.
My favorite.
But there's no need to cry.
Yeah.
We'll be back again sometime. The show with the pressure and Frosty.
Yeah, good. Well done. That was a bit of a sloppy start, but we mocked it up, didn't we?
Yeah, we ran it.